in a simple method, we talk about the Lord's Prayer. What is the difference between the two? When you walked away from that illustration, more than an illustration, did you walk away from reading the Lord's Prayer, or should I say, saying the Lord's Prayer? Or did you walk into a category of saying, in your quiet place, moving away from the crowd, going into a room somewhere inside of your mind, somewhere inside of your being, did you move into a place where you and God got along? I think the primary difference between the two, one, we said the Lord's Prayer. We were concerned about saying the valuable words of the Lord's Prayer. We were concerned about saying these words. The second one, we were concerned about having a relationship with God and focusing in and praying and meditating on the Lord's Prayer. Now, the lesson that we're going to be looking at this morning, to me, is really a secret to success. And the secret to success in praying is forgiveness. It's almost profound when we think about when we were seeking the face of the Lord. All of a sudden, we had to come down to boiling it down, like the secret to giving is mercy, but the secret of praying is found in forgiveness, because in finding forgiveness, all of a sudden, we come into a relationship with God. And to me, that's an amazing, that the Creator of the universe comes down and focuses and allows us to experience that precise moment, that moment of knowing God. I'd like for us to look at this. Let's begin reading verse 5 in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, let's just try to focus in on this just for a moment. Because when we think about the secret of praying, we're looking at the method. The method of praying gives us two primary examples. And inside of the method of praying, we have a poor example, and then we have a profound example. The poor example is none other than a public display of a man who likes to go to church, a synagogue, and he's the one who likes to stand and pray long prayers. So he's so eloquent. Everybody says, wow, what a prayer. But you see, that's not really the goal. The goal is not what a prayer, but the goal is what a God. And there's a big difference. He liked to stand on the street corner. You know why the street corner? That way he could be seen in four directions. And if he's seen in all four directions, and people say, he's praying, man, wow, look at him, then he got his reward. He got what he was looking for. That's not what the Lord God is seeking us to do. See, the Lord God wants us to use us a good method. He wants us to know whose team we're on. Kind of like Miss Cotton. Miss Cotton used to live across the street when I passed her down at Madison Street Baptist Church in Stark, Florida. This little bitty frame house. You'd go to her house and you could shout as loud as you could, and she couldn't hear hardly nothing. I mean, she just got that of that age that I'm getting closer to. and she was hard to hear. But you know what, every Sunday morning, Miss Cotton would take her little cane and she'd cross the street And she'd get on about the fourth row on the left side, and that's where Miss Cotton would sit. And could she couldn't hear a word I was preaching, but she was there, and somebody asked her, "Why do you come?" She says, "I want people to know whose side I'm on. I want to know." And folks, God answers prayer. God, sometimes people pray for you and you don't even know it. I was driving to church this morning on my second trip. You can be late and still have two trips, okay? I was driving to church on my second trip, and I saw somebody out there with his dog doing the normal things of walking the dog. And I said, "Lord," I said, "help this young man to go to church this morning." So when I looked up and I saw somebody, I said, "God answered my prayer." I won't point out who he is, but he's got glasses on. Why? Because I love him. I love you. That is how God answered my prayer this morning. Now, he was probably already coming, he and his family. I prayed for him. And you know what? I feel like God impressed both of us. So, what are you looking at? Oh, by the way, Miss Cotton, one day I walked down and I was shaking hands. And for some unknown reason, I just shook somebody's hand around her and I didn't shake her's hand. And you know, she couldn't hear. You know what people who can't hear, you know what they do? They talk loud. She said, "I'm sitting here too, Buster." I about jumped four rows to grab her hand. "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." Miss Cotton, we knew whose side she was on. A poor example would be that of the Pharisee, but a good example. A good example, as we can see from our text right here, a profound method is one who has a private display. And a private display receives what God gives. Public displays receive what man gives. And who do we want in our prayer? We want what God gives. And so as we begin to look at this, we see that the Lord Jesus was teaching us a very definite plan. Because you think about that old Pharisee. The Bible says in Luke 18:11, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. Did you get that? The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. A major difference. Sometimes we pray to ourselves and not to God. He had a good eye on himself, a bad eye on everybody else, and no eye on God. That was the bad example. But a profound example, profound model. Private display receives the reward from God the Father. But when you pray, verse 6 says, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." The main point of prayer is this: experience God. Okay? Experience God. This doesn't mean that you literally have to go inside of your door, your closet, with all of the dust and all of the spiders, and get in there and close the door. What it means is that you have a quiet place in which you, as an individual, can go into your heart, into mind. Ms. Wesley had about 17 or 18 kids. And you know where her quiet place was? How do you find a quiet place? Most of us would say she'd go to the bathroom and close the door, but that's not where she went. She had 17 kids, and her quiet place was this. She took her apron, and she wrapped it up over her head. And all of her children knew, "Leave Mama alone." That's where she was praying. And so you see, your quiet place might be in the midst of 17 kids. God bless her. But you found that quiet place. Where's your quiet place? Each of us needs to have a place in which we can go to, because when we go into that quiet place, we need to know that God answers prayer. Elijah, y'all have heard about that prophet. James chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says that Elijah prayed, "Lord, don't let it rain." And it didn't rain for 3 years. And then Elijah prayed again, "Lord, let it rain." And it rained. Does God answer prayer? Does God answer your prayer? That's the real question. Does God answer your prayer? Hezekiah. Now, we talked about Elijah and the rain in nature. God does answer prayer about nature. But what about Hezekiah? The prophet went and told Hezekiah, "Hezekiah, get your house in order. You're about to die, buddy. The end of your road is coming." Hezekiah went before God and began to weep before God. And what did God do? God heard that prayer, God answered that prayer, and the Bible tells us that God sent forth the prophet back to Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5, and he said, "The Lord has heard your prayer, and he's given you 15 more years." So does God answer prayer about nature? Yes. Does God answer prayer about our health? The answer is yes. Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4:10 prayed, "Lord, increase my borders, but don't increase my borders unless you're going to walk with me." And the Bible says, and God honored his prayer. So therefore, his borders, his influence was increased. Does God answer prayer? Yes. About our health, about our food, about our life, God answers prayer. And so therefore, when we look at this good example, profound example, we begin to see what God has intended for us in the midst of our prayer. But now the manner of praying really evaluates the content. Let's look in verse 7. "But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you even ask." What does the Lord teach us here? The Lord teaches us about empty words. God says quality is better than quantity. Quality is better than quantity. While ago, we experienced quantity. We read the words together. And I don't know about you, but for me, I didn't feel the impact of just saying the words. Now, maybe you did, and that's okay. I'm just talking about me. When I read the words, I did not experience the impact. But when I prayed the prayer, and all of a sudden, things began to be different. And God's not wanting us to get a hammer and go knock him over the head and say these words over and over. Did you know that the heathen used to have what they call prayer wheels? And they would put their prayers on a little thing that would spin around. And these guys would take these prayer wheels and they'd spin it around, thinking that every time it went around that it was a prayer to God. And they would spin it around thinking that that would get God's attention and God would answer those prayers. God says, that's quantity. It's not quality. When we pray, let us think and let us become specific about, because the Father knows what you have need of, yet He waits for you to ask. For instance, many of us wanted our children to go to college. In my case, I gave my children the opportunity to go. But you know what? They had to want to go. If they chose not to go to college, that was okay with me. It really was. Because college life is not necessarily for everybody. And so therefore, I gave them the opportunity, but they had to choose to go. Now, how is that with us in prayer? God has many blessings that He wants us to have. But we have to desire the blessing. And we have to ask for the blessing. And when we do that, God, who knows what we have need of, will respond. James 4:2 says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." Therefore, what is the need of your life? Sometimes we begin to ask for things that God just come out and says, no. Let me give you an illustration. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. What was the thorn in the flesh in Paul's life? Some people said it was a nagging wife. I don't believe that one. Some people said that he was not married. Some people said that he couldn't hardly see. A lot of people say a lot of things about the thorn in Paul's flesh. What was it? I don't know. That's one of those things when I get to heaven, and I am. I'm going there. Are you going there? Yeah, good, good. You're going there. You can ask questions too. But I'm going to walk up to old Paul and say, "Paul, man, all of my life I heard about this thorn in the flesh. What was it?" And you know what he's going to tell me? He's going to tell me what that thorn. Paul said, it affected him so much that three times Paul prayed, "God, remove this from me. Remove this thorn in the flesh." Three times. Now, Paul, you know, he wrote most of the New Testament. probably the strongest Christian that ever walked in shoes. That was Paul. He had a great conversion. He was a murderer. He was saved, and God called him to preach. And he established many churches along the way. Why wouldn't God take the thorn of the flesh out? Because God said this. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. That's what he said. Paul, my grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Now, how do you pray? Well, it just is open. There was a guy that used to be called, or his name was, St. Francis of Assisi. And St. Francis prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying we are born to eternal life. Amen. What a prayer. What an awesomeness. St. Francis of Assisi went to God and said, God, I pray for more time to live so that I might share. But St. Francis of Assisi coughed his life away through tuberculosis. Therefore, he was not added years to his life. But in his life, there was quality. And in his prayer life, there was prayer. And so therefore, as we begin to look at these words, your Father knows what you have need of. Now I want you to ask. Hey, by the way, this is a trivia question. The disciples, the 12, okay? Got it? Now y'all know the category. Category is the 12 disciples. And inside of the 12 disciples, how many things did the 12 disciples ask Jesus to teach them? I'll give you four. One. Three. Five, or more than five? One, three, five, or more than five. What is the answer? Behind door number what? More than five. What? One. And the answer is behind door number one. One of the most amazing truths that we found. The disciples. The disciples did not ask Jesus, Jesus, how do you perform miracles? The disciples did not, Jesus, how do you build great churches? The disciples did not say, but what they did say, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. I think that's so profound when I begin to think about it, because if you were walking with the Son of God, and they knew it was God, I would want in my life, I'd want to be a sponge. I would want to ask Him not five, but 50 or maybe 100. Lord, teach me these things. But disciples, recorded. Now, that's all that's recorded. I'm not saying what they might have done, but I'm just speaking about what is recorded. Lord, teach us to pray. And so, therefore, the Lord Jesus gave them the secret in praying. And we're going to go to 10 steps in the secret of praying. Number one is Jesus taught us how to pray. Verse 9 says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, it's important to note here, the Lord's Prayer is a pattern to follow. And as one prays within the framework, he will find himself taking hold of the power of God. How many times have I said, Lord, my prayer life, God, it's just not what it needs to be. God, I need help. How many times has God sent us back to the model? Folks, when we focus, not reading, as I read, but praying. And the difference is time. So therefore, he gave us a model. The lesson here is praying is open for practice. This is not something that you go to class for and you get the instructions and you go home and you put it on the shelf and say, boy, that's a good one. How many times do we do stuff like that? Man, God just lays something great on us at church. And I really want to use it, Lord, but we put it on the shelf. And many times we don't think about it till next time somebody says, what about prayer? Oh yeah, I know where that. Let me go pull it off the shelf. No. After this manner, in this way, prayer is to be practiced. Hebrews 7:25 says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Lord Jesus, there. Number two is, Jesus taught us to whom we are to pray. The Scripture says, our Father which art in heaven. Our Father. Now that eliminates a lot of things and a lot of people. Our Father. You can't pray this prayer unless you're born again. Okay? You got to be born again. You got to have Jesus Christ inside of your heart, or He's not your Father. If Jesus is not your Lord, God is not your Father, Satan is your Lord, and Satan, the father of murder, is your Father. That's what the Scripture says. So when we pray this prayer, we have to recognize our Father, which art in heaven. Now, when he does this, he brings us to this point here. He wants us to be quiet. The lesson here is silence the mind in the presence of the Savior. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Think about it. Our Father, which art in heaven. He is here. And at His feet is all the created world. And we as individual creations, now we can participate. Our Father. Wow. Just moved light years. Somebody said, beam me up, Scotty. Okay, and in that, just in that flash of a moment, you were beamed up right there to the presence of the Creator of the universe. Think about how big heaven is, and think about that we're a part. And then number three, Jesus taught us to give glory to His name. The Scripture says, hallowed be Thy name. The lesson here is God is exalted above all the things of the earth. Holy is Thy name. Y'all remember one day Isaiah was taken in a vision, and in his vision he went to the throne, and in the throne he had a picture of God. He saw God in His glory, and all of a sudden Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am a man undone, and I live in the midst of unclean lips, people of unclean lips. What do you recognize? You recognize the holiness of God. You see, there is a profound factor right here. The holiness of God. When we understand the holiness of God, folks, that'll change our prayer life. We don't run in there flippantly and say, how you doing this morning, bud? The holiness of God. And that's what Isaiah recognized, that holiness, and that was Isaiah 6:5. Isaiah 6:3 says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory. God is to be exalted. Now, Jesus taught us to pray by focusing in on the kingdom of God. The Scripture says, Thy kingdom come. Now, true prayer seeks the rule of God. That's what it does. When we focus on the rule of God, it positions us to follow the will of God. Hey, look at Jesus. Isn't that what He did? One time Jesus was in the garden, and He was praying for you, and He was praying for me, and He had a burden. Lord, if there be, Father, if there be any way, let this cup, let the cross and the suffering, let this cup, talking about the sins of the world, let this cup, talking about dying, Lord, if there be any way, let this pass from me. But what did Jesus say? Not my will, but Thine be done. You see the difference? Even the Lord Jesus, in his prayer, he was focusing in on the kingdom authority. He was focusing in on God, and he said, God, not my will, but thine be done. So many times, the reason one prays is that he wants something from God, or wants God to do something, or his prayers are literally just selfishness. But when one's mind is filled with God, he begins to think about in terms of, well, what does God want about this area, this concern? That man that was on the video clip, his concern was his family. His concern was the job. His concern was, Lord, what do you want? See the difference? When all of a sudden we say, well, what does God want in this situation? Our wishes and our will begins to change. Not mine. Thine be done. Jesus taught us to pray by focusing on the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Jesus also taught us to pray that God's will be done. The Bible says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know what we have to do sometimes in our prayer life? We got to reboot our desires. Now, does anybody know what reboot means? For you computer gurus, some people call them nerds. Okay, I say for you computer wise folks, reboot means sometimes our computer just messes up. It just won't do what we want it to do. It'll lock up, it'll shut down no matter what you say to that screen. Okay, or how hard, it's amazing how hard we hit those keys sometimes. Pew, 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 pew. You know? And we think that by hitting this real hard, the only way that you can make that computer to do right sometimes is cut the thing off and let it reboot. And then when it comes back up, oh, you say, what a genius I am. Sometimes what God wants us to do is to reboot our desires. We get locked up in our own selfishness when we shut down and say, okay, God, not my will, yours be done. All of a sudden, the screen comes back up, and the amazing thing is, life begins to work. Y'all remember the show Father Knows Best? I'm going to check you. Young people, have y'all ever heard the movie Father Knows Best? Never heard about it. Our generation of young people have been deprived. Y'all remember Father Knows Best, right? Okay, good. I know you are. Okay, Father knows. And you know what the truth about the matter is? The Father still knows best. And he does. And he will answer. And he will give us direction. So therefore, we have a picture right here of life in complete harmony. Number six is, Jesus taught us to pray depending on God. In other words, give us this day our daily bread. Life means this. Depend on God for your daily needs. Now, we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And because we're made up of body, soul, and spirit, when we talk about, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, he's making reference to, what physical things do you need today? What spiritual things do you need today? What emotional things do you need today? God, give us this day, not yesterday, not tomorrow. God, give us today. This is what we need today. My desire, my hope, my will, focused on the kingdom of God. Lord, you know I need these things. And God says, yeah, I know it. And now you're asking me. And now I supply that need. It happens so many times, isn't it? Man, when things are going well, we need God. We do, but sometimes we get focused in our jobs and say, man, I got a great job going on right now. I don't need to pray about my job. Whoa, that could be a mistake. How quick can jobs be taken away? Man, like that. Our daily bread. Man, my freezer's full. How quick can the lights go out and everything in the freezer be gone? The Lord wants us to depend. The key here is, Lord, I am going to depend upon you for my daily needs. Jesus taught us now, there's something else here. Jesus taught us to pray with forgiveness and with a forgiving heart. The Bible says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness prepares the heart for answers. Boy, Heidi, this is the one that's been hidden for ages. It's been there all the time, but it's hidden. Somebody may walk up and say, man, my prayers are not getting any higher than this roof. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why God's not answering my prayer. It may be right here. Is there somebody that I haven't forgiven? Is there somebody that I haven't forgiven? Now, you see, because you're a Christian, and you said I'm our Father, that puts you in the category of being a Christian. You got to love. It's easy to love those who love us. But in the same Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you've also got to love your enemies. Loving your enemies meaning to show care for them. And so therefore, if we're going to show care for even our enemies, we have to reach that point in our life where we say, I forgive. One of the hardest things I think that I ever had to experience in my own personal life is found right here in this one. And that's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. Somebody may put it this way, Father, forgive me as I forgive, and then you list the name of the person, place, or thing in which needs to be forgiven. Recognizing our own need of forgiveness and wanting a restored relationship with a Heavenly Father makes it easier to forgive those who have done us wrong. How's your relationship with God today? Number 8, Jesus taught us to pray for guidance. The Bible says, and lead us not into temptation. Our weaknesses require the Father's personal involvement. And lead us not into temptation. Humility demands this. We must recognize we are humanly weak. And so therefore, Lord, we need your involvement. Trials often bring out our strengths. Temptations uncover our weakness. And as we contemplate God in His strength, we become aware of our own inabilities and we recognize our need for Him. This prayer is not for strength in the temptation, but also for us to escape the temptation. John Ruskin said these words, no one can ask honestly or happily to be delivered from temptation unless he has honestly and firmly determined to do his best, the best that he can, to keep out of it. Shakespeare said, the tempter or the tempted, who sins most? Jesus said to a woman who had been caught in adultery, and said, we're your accuser. Jesus said in John 8:11, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. A woman whose life, practice, was that a sin of ill repute, he said, I forgive you. But he also said, go and sin no more. Don't travel that direction. And lead us, guide us. We pray for guidance. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Number 9 says, Jesus taught us to pray for protection, but deliver us from evil. The lesson here is, ask God to direct your path away from that which could harm you. Lord, deliver us from evil. I was thinking about this. Lord, deliver us from evil. You know what God would have to do in order for America to go down? Here it is. All he would have to do is take his hand of protection away, and man in his sinful nature would do the rest. That's all he'd have to do. God wouldn't have to say, boy, I'm going to get you for this. No, I'm going to say, okay, guys, have it your way. And America falls. Our family falls. Our company falls. Lord, we need you. Give us guidance. Ask God to direct your path. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lord, deliver us. And number 10, Jesus taught us to praise. He says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. What's the lesson? The lesson is this. God inhabits the prayer of the believer. God inhabits the praise of the believer. God, for thine is the kingdom. We acknowledge our obedience unto him. For thine is the kingdom, the power. We acknowledge God's ability. And I'm not afraid because God is able and sufficient in every situation. For thine is the kingdom. Oh, I will serve the King of Kings. For thine is the power. Oh, he's able and he will deliver. And thine is the glory. Acknowledge all the glory belongs to God. I'm not seeking self-glory. I am seeking glory for God forever. Acknowledge God works inside and outside of history, and I will lift up my eyes beyond these times because God is a God of eternity. And then he says, amen. Acknowledge your agreement with the demands of the Scripture. So what has he told us? He's given us steps. Folks, if we'll take this one model into the presence of God and spend time with him, he will answer our prayers. He will answer our prayers every time. Every time. The mode of praying, though, let's remember, the mode of praying. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. You see, there's a lesson in this. Our prayer life is conditional upon our relationship life. Our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. You might say, well, look, I forgave this person and he didn't change. That's his problem. Our position is this. Lord, I forgive. My relationship is now restored with my Heavenly Father, and I've sought to establish a relationship with my fellow man. I cannot say how my fellow man is going to respond, but I know how I responded. Now I've submitted myself to you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Someone said of a man that was on his deathbed, he called an old enemy and said, I want to forgive you for the wrong you did to me. But then he added, but remember, if I get well, the old quarrels are still on. Okay. Well, Edwin Markham, he was in his heart, he had something against his banker. He was a poet. But as a result of the actions of his banker, he had lost great wealth and possession. And when he lost that, he went to his desk to try to write, and he couldn't write anything. It just wouldn't come. Time after time after time, he went to his desk. And he wanted to write poetry, but it just wasn't there. And one day, he sat there and he just started drawing circles on the paper. And thinking. And finally, he said this, I've got to forgive him or die. I've got to forgive him or die. And he looked down on his paper. Subconsciously, he had drawn circles on his paper. And then he said, out loud, he said, I forgive him. And after that, he looked down at the circles and he wrote, he drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him. I think that's what happened. We drew a circle. Took him. Secret to praying effectively is a relationship with God at the heart of it. Lord Jesus, We come before you this morning, recognizing that every one of us who is in this room have the ability to walk into the presence of a holy God and speak openly from our heart of our needs for today. Ask for guidance, ask for protection, ask for deliverance. Father, we have so much. We praise you for it, and thank you, God, for the day that you have prayers. Father, my heart's full. And I thank you, God, for the prayers. Even with the people who are in this room, right here, right now, this moment, this day, God, you have answered prayer. Now, Lord, be mindful of the kingdom of God in our lives. Lord, the disciples said, Jesus teaches to pray. My heart's desire is, Holy Spirit, teach me to pray. In Jesus' name. As we think about these words, our Father, is He your Father? Hey, it's very simple. Enter into the family of God. Repent and believe. That's all He said. Repent, believe. Repent of our sins, believe that Jesus Christ has died, rose from the grave, He lives today, He's at the right hand of the Father, and He's listening to our prayers, interceding to God, the Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ. He's there. And today He wants to be in your heart. Can you say our Father? If you can, then just praise Him. But if you can't say our Father, I want to ask you just to step out and say, Brother Robert, I honestly can't say our Father. We'll pray together. We'll share together. What about your life? The prayer altars are going to be open. Some of you might be saying this morning, my prayers have been blocked. I want power in the prayer. Prayer altars are going to be open. You can do business at the altar. You can do business at your seat. This is your relationship with God. What is God saying to you in this hour, in this moment, in this time? Let's stand together, seeing as people make decisions.